years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment. And good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. Back in 1995, I wrote a feature magazine article. It was called Champion Over Adversity, Things That You Can Bottle. It was in a magazine called Insight Taekwondo with CFW Enterprises. I do see the magazine out on like eBay and stuff like that, but the actual magazine went defunct quite some time ago. But I ended up getting a regular column from my writing, my feature writing on that magazine. And I wrote every month for that magazine for many years, actually, until they are no longer in service. And unfortunately, that is the way of many magazines now. If you notice, they're getting thinner and thinner, or they're just kind of going away, especially a lot of the specialty magazines like martial arts. But such is the way. It's okay. You know, when you have a message to get out, you'll find a way to get it out because that's what you do. But anyway, I'm bringing that particular feature up, Things That You Can Bottle, because I want to talk about that today. There are things in my life that I've discovered I can't bottle them. They're feelings. They're feelings that I just can't put in a bottle. And I want to explain that a little bit and break it down to you because I think it's going to help you. So basically, this was a story about me. I think I was a first-degree black belt at that time, around 1995, maybe getting pretty close to second Dan, as we call it. But I was going over what I've discovered in my professional career. I was working my way up in the TV news business. And at that time, and when I wrote that particular article, I was not in major market TV. I was somewhat paying my dues in a lot smaller market. But I had gained enough local celebritism, or whatever you want to call it, to start to realize something. Everything that I thought that I was going to feel, I didn't feel it. It's just not there. I'm trying to put into words exactly what I'm saying when I say you can't bottle it. And I guess the best way that I could put it is over your life and the course of your dreams and your goals, you think that things are going to be a certain way. And when you finally arrive and you achieve a lot of that stuff, you realize it's not as big of a deal as you thought it would be, at least not to you. And then there are other people who are coming up the ranks who want to achieve what you've achieved. And to them, you know, you're like a megastar, big deal. But the truth is, to you, you're just the same regular person that you've always been. And if you have any kind of luggage left over from your past, you still have it with you, and you're trying to still ditch it. And I'll be the first to raise my hand and tell you, that's me. I work on that every single day. But a lot of the things that you understand to be fame or fortune are not what you think it is. And I look in media and in social media, and I notice that a lot of celebrity people are very quick to be criticized and condemned, especially if they're very rich, they're very popular, they're very pretty, or they've made it, or they've arrived. You have to understand something. To themselves, they are still the same person they always were, and they don't really feel what you think that they're feeling with money or with notoriety. Many times it's quite the opposite, and it becomes almost a nuisance because you can't flow in a normal life. And I know we don't feel sorry for them with that. However, you have to understand that once you arrive, it's pretty cool for a very short amount of time. But you can't bottle that feeling. It's not something that you take with you because it's a physical feeling. And so as you're on your journey to become a spiritual person, that's the first realization I want you to understand, that everything that you can achieve in life in the way of fame or fortune is not something that is going to last. You cannot bottle it. I wish that you could. Many times, you know, other examples in my martial arts career, I'll be going on 30 years next year. I'm getting my seventh Dan, which is my seventh black belt. And, you know, you would think by the time you've arrived at that, that it would be something that you would feel very special about every day, because I thought that I would, you know, when I was a red belt or a green belt or orange belt or even especially a white belt, I always thought by the time I arrived to the rank of black belt, man, I was going to be the bomb, you know. And you walk in and everybody has to stop and bow to you, and you know, everybody has to be very respectful and make sure they always put Miss or Mrs. in front of your name. And all that stuff seemed really cool to me until I arrived and I got there, and I was actually rather embarrassed that I had to go through that routine. I'd rather have just stayed back somewhere and not been recognized that way after a while. It puts you in a position where you know that you can't really mess up a whole lot because people are watching you, and that's a lot of pressure. And it's the same way in any type of celebritism. You really can't mess up because people are watching you, and they're not going to be very kind to you because what's the community, or you're someone who represents the country even with your celebritism. I don't care if you ask for it. If you don't realize that, then you need to not go down that road, because anytime you gain any notoriety, you are representing a certain type of people. And I hear a lot of celebrities go, well, I didn't ask for that. I didn't want to do that. Well, it's too bad. You should have thought about that ahead of time. If you're someone who wants to be locked away in a room and keep the shades closed, then you don't need to pick what you've picked to do. I've heard actresses say that. I just want to share my talent with people. I don't want to have to be someone that has to be accountable or responsible for any of my other actions. I'm just someone who's an artist. Well, that's just too darn bad. I mean, you should have thought about that. You know, somewhere you got hung up on the thought that, you know, fame or fortune was going to give you a feeling that is going to be elated consistently in your life, and now you realize when you get there that it's not what you think it is, and you just want to be left alone. I can only tell you that without stuttering, because I've kind of been there a little bit in my own way. I'm not that famous, but I've had enough to know that, you know, you've got to watch yourself. I mean, you even signed contracts with news stations and news companies saying that if something were to happen to you, like you were negligent, let's say that you got drunk and got arrested, well, they have the right to terminate you. You sign contracts like that because you are a public figure. Even to the point when I got my first major market TV contract and I was competing in martial arts tournaments, they put an addendum in my contract. If I ever got hit and disfigured in the face in any way, shape, or form, they were allowed to terminate me on the spot. And, of course, they don't know. I mean, martial arts is probably one of the safest things that you could train in, really. But I went ahead and signed it anyway just to make the contract legitimate, because I didn't want to have to go through all that, but I knew I would be fine. So there's a lot of reasoning and understanding if you've walked in any kind of path like that. When you see people that have made it and they ruin it all by drugs and alcohol, or you know, they just lose their minds, and you wonder why. How could somebody with everything, someone who has it all, you know, be willing to risk it all or be willing to go down that route? I mean, come on. Every adult now, every teenager should know that drugs and alcohol are addictive. If you don't know that, I mean, where have you been? You know, I mean, it's addictive. You get into drugs, you're going to get addicted. It's good. It feels good. Your brain wants more. It stimulates the reward center of your brain. You're going to want more. You're not above that. Nobody's above that. I tell my kid, I'd love to go around high every day. Everybody has problems. It would make me feel great to have confidence and realize I don't have any problems. You know, that's just an automatic route to the reward center in my brain. But it's a lie, and I tell them it's a lie from hell. It's going to ruin everything you have. It's going to ruin every job, every relationship. It's going to ruin just your health. Everything will go down within just a reasonable amount of time. It's a trick from the devil. You know, I don't know how we have such a huge drug and alcohol problem today. It's the biggest it's ever been in our history in this country. I mean, was it Emmanuel Noriega that said, surely your country has a hole in its soul? I mean, 3% of the world's population is using 60% of the world's drugs. I mean, what's wrong with you? You know, the opioid addiction, I personally feel like it's a spiritual problem. And when you have it in your blood, your DNA, and you've had addicts in your bloodline, well, the devil would love to just use that to come get you again. You got to be very, very careful, ladies and gentlemen. There's a whole new warfare going on that has nothing to do with the physical. And if you don't believe me, look around and look at these stats. Why are young people getting hooked on drugs at this day and age when they know it's going to take them down the wrong path, a path of destruction? They know it and they still do it. There's something wrong. And I'm going to tell you, spiritually, we need to let our kids know that all the things that you achieve, and you should be goal-oriented and should go for it and be the best that you can be, but you got to realize something. You can't bottle that feeling. It's not the end-all feeling. You're never going to feel like you arrived. I just told my teenager this morning. He just got his Eagle Scout Court of Honor, a very proud accomplishment. Only 1 in 4 people in the world ever achieve that rank, the highest rank in scouting. I said, what did you learn? Did you notice that it really wasn't as big of a deal to you as you thought it was going to be? He's like, yeah, I did notice that. I said, that's the way life is. All the physical things you accomplish, it's never going to be what you think it is. There's a certain amount of elation that goes on for a little while, but you can't bottle it. It goes away. It's like me when I collect my purses. You know, one of the ultimate purses to me is a $6,000 Chanel bag, you know, with the gold hardware and the double C's and the chain link shoulder strap. I mean, I could name it for you. I love purses. It's a very expensive purse. I don't have one. But I'm to the point now where I'm like, well, what if I get that ultimate purse? I know that feeling. I'll be elated for maybe an hour, and then it's gone. I'm never going to feel elated about it again. I can't bottle it. This is a lesson I learned in 1995, ladies and gentlemen, when I wrote about it in a feature article in Inside Taekwondo Magazine. I've written for a lot of magazines. That is what I've learned head on, coming up the ranks, trying to become a TV star, realizing that this isn't satisfying something inside of my soul. And I couldn't figure it out because I always thought as a poor little girl growing up in Benton, Virginia, that, you know, me being able to make it in life and accomplishing all these big goals of being on TV and being in magazines and all this thing, that was going to fulfill something for me. And I thanked God. Don't get me wrong. I prayed and talked to God all the time, thanking for every part of that journey. But I always noticed I couldn't bottle that feeling. I had to have more. I had to have more magazines, more books, more TV jobs. And I got it all. I got every bit of everything I've ever wanted. By the time I was 35 years old, I had already achieved everything that I set out to do as a 17-year-old. And I'm not bragging. I'm telling you to let you know that how powerful your mind is, that if you do set out and focus and do the things you're supposed to do and have the correct mentors over you, you can achieve everything you set out to do. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I'm here to tell you that it's physical and it's not something you can bottle and keep, and you will go looking for something else if you think it is, because it's very, very dissatisfying, and it's kind of a Debbie Downer when you get there. It's like, wow, you know, I hear people say it all the time. I lost 50, 60 pounds. I thought that I would be happy. I mean, it's not what made me happy. I mean, you know, you have to understand there's the physical and that which is the spiritual. And the physicality of things is not going to last a long time. I don't care what it is. Let's jump over to the spiritual things. Because you would think that if every week I got dressed up in my clerical collar and went to the hospital and I went to 40 to 60 rooms a day and I talked to people who were dying, people who were scared, people who are going through hard times and don't know what to do about their health, you would think that that would be a real task, wouldn't you? Because it's me doing something that I don't get any benefit out of. I'm trying to help people be benefited from what I do. But you would be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, how that's something that you can bottle. That's something to this day I still feel in my soul is a good feeling that didn't go away. I've thought about it for many years. Why is that? People wonder why I do good things. I mean, I'm not bragging, but the things that I do that are very sacrificial, like helping street kids or going into Native American reservations, why do I do these things? You know, people think, well, she's just a good person. Yeah, really, I'm not. I'm really not that good, okay? I do it because I've learned a little secret. When you can achieve and accomplish in the spirit realm, it's something that sticks. And the only way that I could really figure that out is God wired each and every person in this world to do something, because we're all created in the image of God, and we're all designed to do something, not for ourselves, but to make a difference and help other people and to change the atmosphere with that goodness. It's all part of the battle of good and evil when you change the atmosphere into goodness. And when you show acts of love and you do acts of kindness, you're changing the atmosphere for everybody. I'm sorry if that sounds weird. If you don't know I'm weird by now, then I don't know what to tell you. But it's true. There are rules and regulations in the spirit realm that operate totally different than the physical realm. And when God has designed you to do something and you're doing it, you feel it in your soul. It's bottled in you that I'm doing what I was called and designed to do. And man, I really feel it. I feel such peace knowing that I'm doing something. I'm not getting one dime for it. All the things that I do, I don't get money for it. I have to go out and raise money for this stuff on my own. And I hate raising money. I'm not a salesperson. I mean, it's just by the grace of God, I do it. I raise funds to go out to Native American reservations, you know, and help with the issue of Native American women that are disappearing every year. I teach them self-defense. I do a lot of things, and I learned to do that. It almost sounds a little selfish when I say this, but I do it because I know that it's a feeling that's going to last to make me feel settled in my soul to know I'm doing what God called me to do. Now, here's the next question that I always get. Well, Karen, you know what God wants you to do. I don't know what God wants me to do. I just don't know. Did you know the Bible outlines how to handle that issue as well? First of all, I'm sure you have a talent or ability or a hobby or something you love to do. If you can take something you love to do and turn it into something that will help other people in some way, don't worry about the money. Don't worry about having time to do it. Just do it. In the words of Nike, just do it. If you just will do that, your footsteps will become ordered enough in the spirit realm for you to discover what it is you've been called to do. And many times I do these things, not a thought of one penny in my head, and I do get blessed in it. I've written books that I honestly, I didn't even want to write them, but I knew I had to write them because I knew I was designed to write and make a difference in this world. And they do turn a profit for me. But that's not my focus. That's not my goal. My goal is doing what I was designed to do because I know it's something I can bottle. And I know that it's something that changes the atmosphere for me and everybody else. It makes the way smooth. It creates a certain kind of flow. If you don't know what you're supposed to do, you can read your Bible in the book of Matthew chapter 6. It outlines what everybody who says they believe in Jesus Christ is supposed to do. I had a conversation with someone. They said that they were a Christian, but they weren't my kind of Christian. So I'm like, okay, let me break this one down. They're not a Christian, they're just a Christian. Okay, so if you break down the term Christian, anything in an IAN is a follower of whatever the first part of that word is. So that would be someone who follows Christ. To follow Christ, you would have to know the teachings of Christ, and the teachings of Christ are written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, technically. That's where Jesus Christ talks. So if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to see the outlines of what the teaching of Christ are. In the teachings of Christ, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to Father God except by me. That's the teachings of Christ. So if you tell me that you believe Jesus was a good teacher, and so was Buddha and Muhammad and Santa Claus and all the elves, you know what? Let me tell you something. You're not following the teachings of Christ. I'm sorry if that is offensive to people out there listening, but now you know. Don't listen to my shows anymore, because I'm going to tell you what it says. He is the way, the only way. So to say you follow the teachings of Christ, you're going to have to denounce all the other teachings and follow the teachings of Christ. So if that's a problem, then you're not my kind of Christian, follower of Christ, and you should not say you are a Christian because you're not. So let's pick a God, everybody, and let's stick with what they say. I have more respect for people who say they follow the devil because at least they're picking something and they're not confusing everybody out there. Pick a God. Then I know where you stand. I need to know where you stand. And I tell you what, the thing with people standing all over the place just irritates me to no end. I see it all the time. I deal with it all the time. You need to decide what you believe, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're telling me you believe in Christ and you're following the teachings of Christ, let's go back to Matthew chapter 5 and 6 where he outlines what you need to do. In that outline, he talks about how he was sick, how he was hungry, how he was thirsty, how he was in prison, how he didn't have a place to live, a roof over his head, a bed, basically, living quarters. It's called the fivefold ministry. And he says, if you do this to the least of these, if you do it to your other brothers and sisters in Christ who don't have anything, if you do it to other people, your neighbors around you, the people around you who don't have anything, he says, you're doing it to me. You're doing it to Christ himself. So if you don't know what you're called to do, then all you have to do is participate in some way in that fivefold ministry. If you're doing that, you're doing what you're called to do. And keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking. Because when you ask, you're going to find. When you seek, you will find. Knock, it will be open to you. Ask, and you will receive. Again, the teachings of Christ. It sounds great, but I didn't make this stuff up. You read chapter Matthew chapter 5 and 6, you're going to see all the teachings of Christ regarding what you were wired to do. So once you just take a step and move in that right direction, if you remember my last blog, I was talking about showing up. If you show up, even if you don't really know what you're doing, all you have to do is show up. Your footsteps will become ordered. The path will be made clearer to you the more you show up. It's that way physically for me in the physical realm, in every career point I ever got. And I've had some great careers, ladies and gentlemen, career moves. Everything I ever got, I'm going to tell you the truth, I didn't really know what I was doing all the time. But I still reached out and I showed up. And in doing so, I started to learn and I got the ball rolling and I'm smart enough to figure it out. Well, that didn't work. Well, that did work. It's the same thing in your spiritual journey. But if you're telling me you're following the teachings of Christ, you got to know what his teachings are and you've got to apply them. Even if you really don't know how to do that, you need to make an effort anyway. It's not that I was so more important in the kingdom of God that I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. It's just that I learned. I fell down a million times spiritually, and I picked myself up, and I've learned. I'm like, well, I'm not doing that anymore. That didn't work. Isn't life like that? How many times in martial arts you try to move, and you get kicked in the head or something, and you fall to the ground, you're like, well, I'm not doing that anymore because that didn't work. Sometimes you have to get hit in the head and get knocked down, and then you realize it doesn't work. But does that mean you go home and you never show up to class? No, it means you learn. And next time you do better, and you do better, and you do better. There's nothing different about that type of order in the spiritual realm, guys, but so many people won't even show up. In my chaplaincy, I get this all the time. Well, I feel bad because I really don't go to church. Like, who cares if you go to church? Listen, if you get something out of going to church, you should go. But if you don't get anything out of it, then you need to find a way to get your spiritual food. That's what really matters. How do you get your spiritual food? Do you have a teacher that you resonate with that you know is teaching you? Is this teacher correct? They're teaching the correct way, the correct things. You don't halt your spiritual journey just because you stopped going to church 20 years ago. I don't care. I mean, I'm an ordained chaplain. I don't care if you go. It has nothing to do with the state of your heart. Now, you know, I'm not saying anything's wrong with it, so please, you know, don't email me and go, you told me not to go to church. No, I'm not telling you that. I'm saying you need to find someone to give you your spiritual food. And you know what? You need to reward that person who gives you your spiritual food. They deserve it. Do you go to martial arts? You don't pay your teacher? Don't they deserve to be paid? Listen, I deal with a lot of less fortunate people, and I don't get paid a lot, but that's part of my ministry. It's okay. But if you want me to do your PR, oh, you're going to pay me, and you're going to pay me good. Ask the people who are my clients. I'm not cheap, but I'm good. You want to? I get approached all the time. Will you do this write-up for me in a karate magazine and get me in? Well, yeah, but I tell you, I'm not cheap. Do you still want me to do it? I tell them, I'm not cheap because I'm good at what I do and I deserve to be paid. I deserve to be paid for what I'm good at too. But it's the same principle. Your spiritual leaders that give you spiritual food, you know, they got bills to pay. They got to eat. They got kids. You deserve to pay. They deserve for you to pay them. And if you don't pay your spiritual leaders, guess what's going to happen? They're going to go away because they're going to have to get a job at the mall or something because nobody is paying them their worth and they've got bills to pay. It's only fair. You have a job. Do you want to do your job and not get paid for it? So if there is a spiritual leader you're getting your food from, I want to highly encourage you to be very generous with them and give to them generously, whoever that person is, because you don't want that source to go away. I have spiritual leaders myself. I have spiritual mentors, ladies and gentlemen. I always make sure that I bless them in some way every time they expend their knowledge because they deserve that. They absolutely deserve that. I honor them and I reward them every chance I get. Don't know what you want to do. Don't know what you need to do. Don't know what God's called you to do. Oh, he's called you to do something. Ask, seek, knock. Find out what it is. And until then, don't sit around. Go help people who have needs. Your neighbors, your other believers in Christ, for those of you who believe in Christ, if you see that they're having problems with food, clothing, shelter, prison, hospital, whatever it is, you need to help them. I wish somebody would have told me what I just told you a long time ago. I wish I would have got this when I was 17 or 18. I knew more. I was on a journey then, but I didn't know it like this. Such is life, right? We learn and we can't look back in the rearview mirror when we learn these things, and I'm still learning too. All right. Well, listen, I want to let you know about a couple things I got going on here. I have a little more traveling going on this fall. If you're in martial arts, I'd love to meet you. If you're just in the town and you're listening to my blog, I'd love to meet you too. So I'm headed over to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, first 2 weeks of October. Going to be working with the USTF a little bit and also have to brush up on my 7th Dan because I got a test coming up in the spring for 7th Dan. And I'm going to be in November, I'm going to be in Vegas with Professor Gary Lee's event, and I'm going to be speaking at that event. And that is always a good time to see the people that run in that circle. Okay, you're a little crazy, but it's my kind of crazy. So it's all cool. All you Texans going to Vegas, we're good. I have 4 books out. I write for 2 magazines. I post all my stuff in my 2 Facebook groups, the Eden Assignment Inspirational Series and the Eden Assignment Warfare Series. They're both pretty good, but the warfare stuff, I always say if you're not someone who's extremely devoted to God and Jesus Christ, that one might give you nervous diarrhea, so don't listen to that one. Just stick on the inspirational side. All right, so anyway, I have a lineup. I'm already getting next spring lined up, too, but I'll go over that at another time. But I would love to check you out, and I would love to for you to check me out. No, I would love for you to check out my books. Sure, I'll check you out, sure. Come on over. All right, listen, if I can pray for you or do anything for you, you can hit me up. I'm all over the place. Check out social media. I'm everywhere. Other than that, I just want to say to you, stay on your journey. If you get knocked down, pick yourself up. The world is real. This world has evil in it that's very real. And we got to be on our P's and Q's about that as spiritual people. We have to understand these things. Do not be spiritually ignorant. Seek it and you'll find it. God bless you. I'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.